I love cold water when it's hot.
Do you?
How was that for an intro?
That was probably the best one yet, I would say.
Do you like cold water when it's hot?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I do.
Do you only like cold water?
No, I will drink all types of water.
Hot water?
Well, I mean, if there was no other water on offer, yes.
You would drink it and take it?
I wouldn't dehydrate myself if there was no cold water available. Let's put it that way.
You know, some people only like cold water.
I think we're talking about the same person. This will be her test to see if she's listening.
She's always listening.
Always listening.
She knows. She actually sent me, if we're talking about the same person, she sent me last night, you know how I use mouth tape over nighttime?
Yes.
She sent me a thing from Huberman.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, if basically like they've done studies or whatever, and if you mouth tape, you will be more, you will look more youthful for longer.
Fucking sign me up.
And she, that's exactly what she said. She was like, I'm going to go get mouth tape. I'll tape my mouth shut all day. I don't give a shit. No one needs to hear me talk. I was like, everyone laughs at me when I mouth tape my mouth for the health benefits. But now that it, now that it's for you to look good, you'll
also
do it.
I would like to see that study.
It was like on a kid.
Hmm.
Like that, I don't know. I'll send you the link. Candace is skeptical. She's skeptical. Always skeptical of everything. But it was like about a kid who had allergies and had like a hamster in a room and was like snoring. And then they got rid of the hamster and showed her body how to like breathe again with her mouth closed. Mm-hmm. So they used a little bit of medical tape. And then it like changed the whole shape of her mouth and face and shit.
Yeah.
Candace is skeptical. Anyway.
Anyway.
Mouth tape.
This side of my headphones isn't working. Does that matter?
No. Okay, I mean, I can hear you, but it's probably annoying for you.
No, it's fine. Anything. I feel like I have a blocked ear.
Maybe you do.
Maybe I do. I don't think I do.
That's odd.
Anyway.
So we have someone here today who's just been listening to us ramble shit for the last 2 minutes. Hilarious. We're going to make everyone guess again. Do you reckon she's got a distinct voice?
Yeah, I think so.
You reckon everyone will know?
Yeah.
Mm.
Say all hello. Right.
Say hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I think. Do you reckon? Yeah. Well, everyone ruins it anyway, because you know when I post it in the members group,
they all say underneath
it, and then they're
it,
like, I love listening to you so-and-so. And I'm like, come on, man. It's a fun game. You ruined it. All right. You can say something else.
Should I put on my best airline voice as I'm talking?
Oh, yeah. Did you have an airline voice?
Well, at work, we have to talk to people over microphones all of the time. So you'll be like, okay, when you're ready, press the button, take a breath, and hold.
Is that how you talk?
Yeah. I don't mean to, but I just
I'd feel
do.
Very calm if
that's
I was
pretty
in
soothing
the, in the machine.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. You should talk like that the whole time.
Yeah, that's probably going to be really hard.
It definitely will be. So, who the hell are you?
I'm Hayley.
Hey, Hayley.
Hi.
How long have you been hanging out here for?
About 2 years now. A little over 2 years.
Yeah. So that's post, I don't know, my brain.
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID. Yeah, my definitely. Brain gets like mushy.
Really?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I think it was just after all the major lockdowns is like when I started.
The last
here.
3 years, I don't know.
My brain is mush.
I couldn't tell you anything. Like, I know what's happened, but I couldn't tell you the order of anything.
Nah, I don't know.
That's wild.
Like, my timeline was never great, but now it's
mush. Yeah, yours was bad before. I can only imagine.
But it's only it's gotten much worse.
Yeah.
So
is it wild because it feels like I've just been here forever, or you're like, where did that time go?
A little column A, I think.
So you tell us about, I like hearing how people entered here. How did you hear about us?
It was actually Ash Allsop who mentioned that she was coming to Contessa.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lease, so I just had my second bub. And I don't know, maybe like 6 weeks after she was born, kind of went to this downward spiral of really severe anxiety. Not really knowing what was happening, and turns out I had quite bad postnatal anxiety. And I started seeing a psychologist, and they run like a group for PND, you know, postnatal depression and anxiety. And it's once a week for 8 weeks, and you learn about like, I don't know, like what is anxiety and what does it look like and what is depression and understanding the physiology of it, and then also learning tools of like how to get better. And one of the really big things for me was like, you know, kind of understanding like the reason I felt awful, and I was like, oh my God, what's happened to myself? Like, you're in this constant state of like fight or flight effectively. So like all your senses are hyper aware, your heart's racing, you're clammy all the time. A little like I'm feeling now.
Quite similar.
It's just a chat, man. I know we've got microphone and headphones, but this is just us having a chat. Chat between friends.
Yeah, and so I think one of the really big things for me was understanding the physiology of what was happening. You know, like I felt that way because I just had so much like stress hormone and cortisol like just pumping through my body all the time. And it was kind of broken down to me that I guess like, you know, you go back in the day and, you know, if you're in that fight or flight, like your body's just trying to protect yourself. So it thinks you're in danger. And if you can't fight and you can't run away, you've got to like burn that off somehow. And so exercise can be a really good way of just like de-stressing effectively. So for me, I was like, all right, well, this is my quick fix. I need to start exercising. I need to start moving. I need to start burning all of this nervous energy off. And so I started looking for a gym. And I think I went to maybe 4 or 5 different gyms.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like just like one visit.
Yeah. Just to look. Basically, like I did the meet and greet and I did that at a few different places. And I wanted to find somewhere that the kids weren't going to be a barrier. So I didn't want to have to be like, oh, I can't go today because of the kids. So
yeah,
I looked around. I remember my meet and greet.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
I even remember you're telling me like, oh, you know, we do the podcast. I'm like, why the fuck would I want to listen to a podcast about what you do?
And here we are.
Yet every
2 years later.
I know. And honestly, every week I'm like, oh, it's Friday.
She's like, who the fuck do these women think they are?
Oh my God, they got a podcast.
Yeah. So I don't know. And like I'd had not a great experience with CrossFit in the past. So like I wasn't necessarily looking for a CrossFit gym. I was looking for a gym where...
So you've been to CrossFit before?
Yeah, like years ago in London, and it was very showy and yeah, there wasn't a lot of like coaching. So you kind of just were chucked in the deep and didn't know what you were doing. So I think my main driver was find somewhere where the kids aren't going to be my barrier to going. So this seemed like the best place to do that. Yeah. And then
were you scared coming in?
Oh, hell yeah.
Was I scary?
No, I wouldn't say you were scary. I think you, I don't think you were scary.
Great.
Yeah. It's just more intimidating putting yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, I don't. You know, I don't know anybody. I already feel not like myself. Like,
where did we sit?
Down the end. That's now the nail studio.
Yeah. Were you comfortable?
I believe.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just looking for feedback. It's all about
you
me.
You guys can't see. If this is on video, you see me giving her a side eye. It's like, what the fuck is she doing? Why are you asking that?
I mean, I believe I was comfortable at the time.
She said she remembers it.
Look, it would have been October, so it would have been warm. Oh, there was air conditioning.
Shit. Okay.
Very comfortable. With the chairs in a good... No, I'm joking. I'm joking. And then what did you do? On-ramp?
No, I didn't do the on-ramps.
At think all?
Because I'd had a little bit of experience. I think I did one with Candace.
Yeah, we did one session.
I think we did one.
Were you comfortable?
Give her a rating out of 10.
How was that experience for you out of 10?
Well, I had met Candace once before, anyway, in Physioland. Oh. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but I had, so with my first pregnancy, I'd had a lot of complications early on with Isaac, lots of hip pain. And as soon as I found out I was pregnant with Elise, I'm like, I cannot do that again. So I'd heard lots about Candace. And so I booked in and saw her. And
she's like a god in the women's health physio. When it's really
like,
funny.
What, this loser?
Because because I hang out with her all the time and we just talk shit. And then there'll be like a random woman comes in. Is that Candace Lamb? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, I probably was a little like, because I don't think I realized that you worked here. And when I met you the first time and you were like, oh, you know, you've got a women's health physio, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, who's that? And you're like, oh, Candace Lamb. I was like, oh.
The Candace Lamb? And I'm always like, yeah, she's a fucking tool. Like,
yeah, she's a fucking idiot.
Very funny.
Yes, I know. I didn't feel intimidated by Candace. I was okay.
Very comfortable.
Thank you, Hayley.
She's
okay. Yeah, 9 out of 10.
Well, she's mad. She only gets 100%.
That's okay. 90's okay.
She's going to go home and cry. Yeah. I hope you're happy.
How can I improve myself?
If that not, there's a 1 out of 10 to be made up there, so you got to give her the feedback that's required.
Right. Yeah.
We'll do it off air. She'll Thank cry. okay, so you did one on ramp and then you went straight into CrossFit?
Yeah, and I don't remember exactly my first class. I do remember Kel actually coming and introducing herself, which is funny. Like, she got that award.
So
I'm
many
like,
people
so
since we
true.
Did the award. So last week, that feels like it was 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was at least seven to 9.
Last weekend we had our final big class workout before the Christmas kind of holiday period started, and we
the staff over a couple of weeks sat down and we had a bunch of criteria and voted on who would get awards. And Kel got our like community spirit award because so many people, we've witnessed it over and over and over again.
For over 4 years now, yeah, she's been here.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's, she's the first person to make contact with a new person every single time. And it's so cool that you've said that because that's like so many people have said that to us this week. Yeah, like so she was cool. The first one I met.
Yeah,
very she's cool. A legend.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't remember my actual like first workout, but I definitely remember Kel. But I do know it was, I was only been here, maybe it was like the first week or the second week, and it was Chad, like the 1,000 box step ups.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
I think I did it on a 12-inch box and was like, what the hell have I got myself in for? Yeah, but that was like a nice little measure 12 months later to be like, oh, look at how I've improved since then.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so what did you, you guys just hear that?
Was that?
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah. I was like, I wonder if that came out loud.
It did.
Okay, cool. I had a little micro sleep. Now I'm back. Now I forget what I was going to say. Oh, gyms prior to this, like not the little ones you did coming, like fitness-wise, you did CrossFit a couple of years in prior in London.
Oh, I did it for a few months. I did it for probably about 6 months in London, so probably like 10 years earlier.
Yeah, and then fitness in general, like did you grow up healthy, fit, strong?
I did, like you kind of just did sport because that's what you did. So like I did athletics, never particularly excelled at it. Like I was always good at sprinting. My thing was I could do short distance and that was it. I couldn't do anything else. And I did like a bit of netball, but same thing. Like I did it, but.
You were never like the
I was
best.
Never like, you know, athletically talented.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just always did it.
Yeah.
And then you, what do you do for job?
Radiation therapist.
Yeah. Did you do that straight out of school?
Yes.
Out of that? Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yes. I actually wanted to be a radiographer, so like take medical images. But, you know, you pick a few different options. And so I just put some thinking that like, well, if I don't get that, I'll start something and transfer. So I had no idea. I started my degree, no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, right.
Like literally I went on my first clinical placement and was like, oh.
Why'd you choose what you do?
Well, I actually think when I got out and saw... Like I'd never even heard of radiation therapy before. I was really lucky. Like I'd not been exposed to like close family or friends having cancer and having to go through that. And yeah, I don't know. Like I think I just, naive young me, went out into this healthcare system and went like, that's a really meaningful thing to do. And it's a really amazing thing to like, I remember like we had one patient who had like metastatic cancer, having her whole brain treated. And she started the week in a wheelchair and then by the end of the week she walked out. And like for me that was just amazing. Like and that was her treatment had that positive impact on her.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and like not every story's that good and ultimately it's a sad ending, but yeah, so I kinda walked away and I was like, yeah, actually I like this thing. So I stuck with it.
How long have you been doing that?
Since 2006. So what's that? 16 years?
Yeah.
I can't do maths quickly.
Well, in 26 it'll be 20 years. So in another 3 years, it'll be 20 years. So 17.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm. Good job, guys.
Mm-hmm. I only know that because that's when I did my PT course. Same year. Countdown. Couple kids.
Yes.
Your husband's pretty cool.
Thanks. He'll like to hear that. He doesn't always listen, but we'll get him to listen to this one.
Do you think he'll listen to it?
I think so, yeah.
I reckon he will.
Jordo watched the... Have you watched a YouTube video from yesterday from... what's his name? Zach.
No, did you post the link?
Yeah, he posted it. I want to know if you feel the same way that Jordo felt. Like, because okay. Callie wanted me to put it on the TV.
Okay.
Callie's like, Mum, you're famous. You're on YouTube. I was like, it's not what that means, but okay. So I chucked it on the TV. Jordo's like, oh, I can't watch this. I was like, what? He's like, I'm getting secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah.
He said when he like watches someone that he knows.
I think I'll feel like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you as well. I said, fuck you to him. Fuck you also. I made him watch it. Sit there and put his phone down.
Oh, he would have
been
so uncomfortable.
Yeah, he was. He was all sweaty and uncomfortable. Anyway. So he's pretty cool.
Yep.
Where did that come from?
We're talking about husbands.
Yeah, okay.
Brad listens to this. He doesn't normally listen.
And so he'll get a secondhand embarrassment.
Yes. Do you think he will get secondhand embarrassment?
Maybe. He's a little like that. Even if he's watching a movie and someone's doing something really dumb, he's like, I can't watch.
Yeah, Jordan and Candace are the same. I'm like, more watching. Deeper watching.
No, I'm like you. I'm like, turn around and watch. Look. Yeah, so maybe he will. Yeah.
How long have you been with Brad?
Since I was 16.
Oh, really?
That's so long.
Yeah, so 22 years this
Holy
year.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
That's very cute.
Yeah.
No, is he older?
4 years older. Yeah. So that went down as I got a job at a restaurant in town and my parents are like, now look, because you're working with older people, don't think you can bring home some 20-year-old boyfriend.
Next minute.
Yeah, it was about 6 months later. I was like, Mom, Dad, this Brad, he's 20.
He's 20. He's my boyfriend.
Yeah. Yes.
That's so cute.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when did you have kids?
Only recently. So it was something I was never sure I wanted to do. So for a long time, I was like very much no. I don't know. I kind of just, I loved my 20s. They were great. We traveled, we partied, we did lots of really fun things, blew our money on silly stuff. It's not sensible at all, but that's what they're for. Yeah, I don't know. And then we moved back to Australia in 2015. And I don't know what changed in me, but I think it was like maybe my hard no went to like a maybe. So we're like, all right, well, let's just see what happens. And then after probably about a year of like nothing happening, and then you start to like, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
Maybe I do really want this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because in hindsight, there's probably all little signs of early anxiety that I just weren't even aware that were there, but you know, starting to worry, like the worry, the over worrying about things. Yes, I think it was about 18 months after we started trying, I fell pregnant with Isaac. Yeah. And now, like, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
What was that first pregnancy like for you?
Not fun. I was really sick. I would eat plain salted potato chips and green olives. Yeah. They were, like, the only things I could stomach for about the first 4 months.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Yeah. Brad would cook up these really lovely dinners and I couldn't even be in the kitchen. I'd have to go and sit downstairs. So he'd call up our friends and be like, I've just made like a really nice curry. You want to come around for dinner? And I'd hide downstairs. And then at 14 weeks, I got appendicitis, which was fun. So I had to have emergency operation to have that taken out, which I think probably added to what came next. I was put on bed rest for like a week or two because of high risk of miscarriage. Then once I actually got up and started moving around again, I'm like, been inactive for a little while, have extra weight that I'm carrying, and I started to get really severe hip pain, like really severe from like 19 weeks. I couldn't lie. You can't lie on your belly, can't lie on your back. I'd lie on my side, I'd be in agony, I'd switch to the other side. So yeah, went down the path of like, I was having like dry needling done, I wore a hip brace, and that was basically from about 19 weeks the whole way through. But
still
I hadn't
working?
Yeah, still working. Yeah. Yep. I got a special chair at work. They got me a special like comfy pink chair and a varied desk so I could like sit for a little while and stand for a little while and sit for a little while. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep. But no, I made it through till about 37 and a bit weeks. And thought I'd have like a few weeks off work before Isaac arrived, and I had like 3 days and he was there. Yeah. So the pregnancy wasn't fun, but I had an amazing birth.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Had a really like, everyone wants to tell you their horror stories, and it really wasn't. It was, yeah, it was beautiful.
I bet you everyone goes, what, when you say that?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm like proper hippie chick.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, but that's no, cool. It was really lovely. Yeah, and then Isaac, I guess, was a tough baby. He didn't sleep. He didn't settle. He only ever wanted to be on you. Brad has this crazy idea when I was 3 months pregnant of starting a new business. So he was off traveling after Isaac was 6 weeks old.
It doesn't sound like Brad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we both underestimated just how hard it would be and how much it would, you know, you come into it thinking like, oh, it's not going to change who I am and it won't change my life. And like, little do you know that it does, but it's not a bad thing at all. Like I would never change it for the world now and I love it. But yeah, I was very naive about how tough it can be. Yeah. So that was the first pregnancy.
And did you have any, like afterwards, apart from it being hard and Brad being away, were there any inklings of postnatal depression in that period?
In hindsight, I think yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we were leaving the hospital, I had a panic attack and it's the first time I'd ever had one.
Oh, wow.
It was like the day before. Yeah. And I mean, Brad's amazing. He's so sweet. Like this one instance occurred and he's kind of gone home and he's like, oh my God, what can I do to help? So he's called the GP, got a referral into a psychologist and organized all of that for when I got home. So I did actually...
After the first one,
yeah. And it's the first time I've ever had any, like, I was like, I'm not getting out of this bed. I'm not leaving this room. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You can't make me go.
I can't look after this thing. yeah. And like, but once we kind of like got down from the, oh my God, panic, I was like, yeah, it's okay. I'm good. And so, yeah, very early on, I actually saw a psychologist and did all the postnatal scoring and everything was fine. So I think like it was hard, but I was keeping my head above water.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I look at it, there probably were times that maybe I wasn't as being as honest with myself about how hard it was. Like I remember sitting at the dining table, just bawling my eyes out, my brothers had come up to visit and meet Isaac, and Brad was leaving for like a week trip, and I just sat there crying because I was like, what the hell? Like, how the hell am I going to do this? And my mum was actually amazing. I called my mum in a flood of tears, and she's like, it's okay, I'm coming. And she came up for the week and she helped. But I'd kind of have like, you know, like maybe I'd have a week like that and then I'd be good again. So that was probably the difference from Isaac to Elise, that it was hard. But with Elise, like, I just wasn't getting out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And during that first postnatal bit, did you exercise at all?
No. No. And I didn't do anything for myself for that first year with Isaac. It was just all about, like, keeping him alive.
Yeah. Basically. You did a good job. Yeah. He's alive.
He's alive. And he's really sweet and he sleeps well now, which is great. Yeah.
Tell me about the sleep deprivation.
Oh, my gosh. People would say sleep when they sleep. He would sleep for 20 minutes at a time during the day. So you couldn't even, like, and it was almost more torturous because you'd just get him to sleep and you'd go and lie down and you'd be falling asleep and then he'd be crying and you're like, oh, fuck, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was relentless. Like, Brad and I would split the nights in half because he was still working. But, like, you know, I've got to be sane. Like, I've got to be sane. I'm like, you're not working, but you're working in a different way. So yeah, the sleep deprivation absolutely kills you. I don't know how I survived. It was like, Isaac was probably like 18 months before he actually slept through the night properly.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it's just now in the last like year that he doesn't fight bedtime and it's a nice thing now. And yeah. And
then in a few years, I'll be like, you'll be like, get out of bed. And he'll be like, no, fuck you, mum. And you'll be like, oh, like everything's just the opposite of what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as they're a teenager, you won't be able to get him out of that friggin' room.
Yeah, they'll be in there all the time. Stinky boy room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was interesting. And so we'd been through a lot with Isaac. We ended up getting a sleep consultant, I think, because I tried to go down to, there's a sleep school down in Brizzy.
In Brizzy, yeah.
Yeah, and I got referred into there and they had like a gastro outbreak while I was there.
What are the chances?
I know, and I had like a young baby and I was like, I am not, you know what I mean? I'm not sticking around to give a newborn baby gastro. Like, so yeah, bailed on that. And then in the end we got a private sleep consultant to come in that helped, but I don't know. I always kind of questioned what we did.
Yeah.
You know, like we did like this very strict like controlled crying type stuff, and like at that point in time I needed it because I was losing my mind through sleep deprivation. But yeah, I remember when I found out I was pregnant with Elise, I was like, I'm not doing that again. I need a different approach. More proactive.
We did that with Callie and it used to break me. So Jordo used to make me wear headphones just so, because I would just cry like the moment she, because you know when they get that real like scary cry that's like they're dying, they're fine but it sounds like they're like in pain. I could not deal. So he'd used to make me like go out either into the bedroom or on the couch and be like, put these on and just chill. So you can't hear anything.
Yeah. And it's just like those, I don't know, it's like the instinct inside of you. Oh, or, it's so strong. You know, like your hormones go crazy and it's like, you know, your child's in danger. And so you've got to do everything to protect them.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. So I think with Isaac, I probably was okay, but it's probably all of those little things in that experience that added to what happened after Elise was born. And with Elise, we knew we wanted a second, but we weren't planning on like them being so close together in age. That was a complete accident. 17 months apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brad had actually been quite sick. He had all these weird, like, I don't know, gastro things going on. And through a bunch of different tests and doctors found out he had CMV. It's cytomegalovirus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he gets a call from the GP one day and she's like, so this is really odd. You've got CMV. I have to ask, your wife's not pregnant. And Brad's like, no, I don't think so. Like, you know, why? Oh, she's like, yeah, it can cause really serious congenital deformities. So I was taking Isaac to the doctor for something the next day anyway. So I was like, I'll just do a test when I get there. Got there, left it with the nurses, like not expecting anything. They're like, don't you want to stay? I was like, no, it's going to be negative. It'll be fine. And the doctor takes the call while we're in the consult and she puts the phone down. She's like, so you're pregnant. And Isaac was 10 months old. And my husband had this weird virus that can cause congenital deformities.
Did you just cry?
I don't even remember. Brad was there with me. We were just both, I think we were just too in shock to cry. Like, I was like, what has just happened? I mean,
they thought they were dreaming. They thought they were asleep.
Yeah.
They weren't getting any sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like this is where the anxiety started.
And I think that's it. Like, I think really it was, Isaac was so tough And I'm like, how am I going to do this all again? You know, we don't have a lot of close family up on the coast. At the time, my parents have got a place in Majimba now, but at the time they were just down in Sydney and both still working full time. So it was just us. And I think at that point it was probably perinatal, you know, which actually is still postnatal because it was in the first 12 months of Isaac. So I was screwed.
You were two things at once.
I was. But yeah, so I guess Elise's pregnancy, totally different to Isaac's. Didn't get sick at all. Was really proactive in like managing physical activities. So I think, I can't remember, is it not Ainsley? There was an EP that you were working with at the time, linked me in with her.
Arnica.
And I saw her from about 8 weeks and just did, you know, I wasn't doing like rigorous activity, but I was just doing some really good like core stability strengthening stuff. And yeah, there was no hip brace, there was no issues. There was like, I got through to, you know, the 38 weeks and was fine with that pregnancy. So totally different pregnancy, very different birth.
Not a great experience.
No, still good, just fast, real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no time to get my like hypnobirthing zen on and be calm.
This is not what I planned.
No, yeah, Isaac was like, oh, that's a contraction. Oh, I'll start breathing and meditating and, you know, doing all the things. And it was lovely. Elise was like, oh, shit. And then about 20 minutes later, I was like, Brad, we've got to go to the hospital. And yeah, she was born in under 3 hours from first contraction. So it was still good, but not as calm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when did you know that there was a problem afterwards?
I can't remember exactly. Oh, I remember the day. I think Elise might have been around 6 weeks old. And Brad had said to me maybe a day or two earlier. He's really sweet. Like, he's got a really good way of having hard conversations. So he kind of pulled me aside one night and had said to me, "Now, I don't really know how you're going. You know, it doesn't seem like you're coping as well this time round as what you did when it was just Isaac." I didn't see it at all, but he kind of pointed out a few things. Like, I really had stopped leaving the house. I hadn't really become capable of doing anything other than just like feeding Elise. And she was a dream baby. She's like the unicorn baby that you'd never hear of. She slept, she fed well, she, you know, she was perfect. So there was kind of no reason to, I guess, I don't know, be falling to pieces at that point. But even simple stuff, because Brad, this was COVID. So this was all around the time of COVID. So like everything had gone into lockdown. We're a bit cheeky. We took the opportunity of like, oh, we've lost our job. Let's pause our mortgage for 6 months. But it meant Brad actually took 3 months off work. So he was home for all of it. And I think he just noticed that, you know, I couldn't even like wash dishes, prepare food, do laundry. I couldn't do anything.
And when you say you couldn't do anything, like you couldn't leave the baby to do the things, or you just couldn't actually figure out do it?
I think I just couldn't figure out how to do it. And like, I just wasn't even aware, you know, I really was just like, my job right now is to like feed Elise and get her to sleep and sleep when she sleeps. And didn't see anything more than that. And I think he just noticed that, yeah, he was kind of like picking up all the pieces. And
Isaac was home too?
Yeah. Yeah. Isaac was home. I think we kept Isaac in daycare. Oh, maybe not actually. We might've pulled him out because it was just as though like no one knew how bad COVID was. So we actually pulled him out for a period of time because we had a newborn baby. So he might've been there too. And yeah, I don't know. So I kind of like took on board what Brad had said and thought on it for a couple of days. And we had one of my friends, she had to go somewhere. So she dropped a daughter off for a couple of hours and Isaac was playing with Remy and they were having a great time. And I was, you know, sitting there nursing Elise. And I kind of just looked around the room and was like, I feel nothing. You know, this should be a moment when I feel joy, you know, like my son was having such a great time and like Elise is, you know, happily sleeping in my arms and I just wanted to cry and I just felt empty. And that's when I kind of said to Brad, like, I think you're right. I think something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at that point I contacted my GP, who was great. Like they kind of got me in straight away. And then I contacted the psychologist I'd seen previously with Isaac, which was actually really nice because I think she had all my history. And so she kind of knew, like, I hadn't seen her a lot the first time around. I'd seen her maybe half a dozen times. But she had a little bit of a background of, like, you know, I guess baseline Hayley and then new Hayley. And so that's the point. So, yeah, it was probably, Elise was probably like 6 or 8 weeks old when I sought help and went from there.
Do you think Sorry, were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I also had got to a point where I wasn't sleeping. I'd forgotten that part too. Yeah, so like even though Elise was sleeping, I just couldn't sleep. So I think I was
Isaac was sleeping, Elise was sleeping, you were not.
I was not. No, and Brad was sleeping in the spare bed because I was just so restless with my sleep. So yeah, I think I'd got like a week on no sleep. You start to go a bit crazy. So when I saw my GP, like the first thing with my GP was, let's try and get you some sleep.
Yeah.
And then once you've had sleep, let's see how you're feeling. So put me on sleeping tablets. And then once I kind of had a few nights sleep, I mean, we came up with a plan, and like Brad took the kids and I expressed and he bottle fed and, you know, all of that stuff so I could get some solid sleep. And I think once I'd slept for a few nights, that's when the empty feeling kind of left, and probably when I realized how anxious I was. I was like on the edge. It's like you're on the precipice of a panic attack at any moment. And I just didn't even realize that because I was just in this haze of sleep deprivation.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And were you worried about anything in particular? It was just like everything. Yeah.
And it wasn't even worry. You know, like you're like, why do I feel like this? Mm-hmm. Like,
so is there like, when explain it, like when you say you feel like that, explain like the thoughts that goes through someone's head, your head at the time of feeling like that. Was it like visions? Was it like, hey, this could happen. The whole house could fall down. Like the car could explode. Like, is it those kinds of things? Or is it just
I think it's the feeling over nothing. Yeah. And I think I probably had all of those things underlying. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like over the coming months, that's what I worked through with a psychologist. But at that point in time, it was just the sheer feeling of panic for no, like, you're like, I don't understand what's happening here. Like, you're hypersensitive to everything. So if I went somewhere and there was music, it was like crippling because it just sounds so loud in your head and you can't think straight. You kind of get this like stutter vision, you know, you try and look at things and everything's really glossy and yeah, it's like hard to focus on any one thing and you can't really get clear thoughts. And it's because you're literally like, there's so much cortisol just pumping around in your body. Your body thinks it's in danger. And, you know, I understand that now that it's kind of trying to protect me. But at the time, you're like, nothing's wrong. So there's something wrong with me. And I think as well that like postnatally, you do get like a really big, you know, like those hormones are crazy. And so you can end up with really big shifts in, you know, hormone imbalances and chemicals in your brain. And so then it can be harder to even like get down off that level. So after, I think it was like maybe a week or two. I know at this time I was like checking in with my GP really regularly. I actually started medications. I went on to like an antidepressant.
Is that how they treat anxiety? Is it the same?
There's lots of different ways. Yeah. So I think there's like different medications for different things and some respond better for anxiety. Some are better for depression. And mine definitely wasn't like, I didn't have that empty feeling. I just had the like, yeah, panic. I can't. Yeah. Panic. It's like, if you think of a moment, like, I don't know, Isaac's done it to me before. He'll run out on the driveway here.
Like that feeling
24/7. You just can't get your head out of that feeling and it doesn't go away.
It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. And, you know, you'd go out and interact with people and you're basically putting on a face, which is really hard work. And so you're exhausted, but then you're also in such a state of panic that you can't sleep. You know, like you have horrible, awful dreams, really vivid stuff. Like, yeah, because everything's just... So my thing was like, you know, I had to try and reset those levels a little bit and then work out how do I manage this and what tools can I use to get myself better.
So what'd you do?
For a long time, I didn't know if I would. And I remember saying that to my psychologist, like, is this just the new me now? And yeah, she was like, I promise you it's not. I've done this lots of times.
You're like, no, but there's always
my first rodeo.
Yeah. And I remember she's like, If in a few years this is still the case, I'll give you all your money back, okay? And I was like, all right, I'm holding you to that.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. And it's really funny actually because I bumped into her the other night at the Christmas lights down at Life Point Church and I gave her a big hug and I was like, yeah, you're right, obviously.
Keep your money.
Yeah, keep your money. I guess the first thing, like I said, I worked with the GP really closely. I think that was probably crucial. A lot of people fall through the cracks because you try and reach out and get help and you just get told this is normal. Like you've got a new baby, just suck it up and deal with it.
So find a good GP.
Find a good GP.
How do you find a good GP?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Ask me, I'll help you.
I was just about to say, Candace, how do we find a good GP?
I've got a list.
You've got a list of, yeah, good GPs. Yeah, you really, because you hear awful stories of like, new mums or dads, and it's dads as well, that will reach out for help and, yeah, just get told, like, you know, just sleep deprivation. You're just being silly.
Everyone
like,
goes through it. You'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I guess it's like if you go to someone and you feel like you're not being heard, go to someone else until you find the person that you think is really listening. And they pull out the Edinburgh Depression, you know, PACE notice scores and actually get you to do it. Someone's coming in and saying that, then that's the first thing they should be going to. Yeah, and he was really good. He didn't push like, you know, you need medication. He just laid out like, these are all the options. You know, he said sometimes the medication can help just to bring you down off that really heightened level. And then you can start to work through things because it's just hard. Like you can't think clearly. So I went a few weeks and I was just like, I just nothing is resolving this. So, so I started medication and then I started the PND group. Like I said, that was the once a week. It was like a 3-hour session.
So similar to like AA.
Yeah, exactly. But
were you scared of that?
Oh, terrified.
Intimidated to terrified. Go to that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is the things to get better have to be very uncomfortable to get better.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I even remember we were talking before about, you know, when I first started here, that like I felt awful most days that I'd come in.
Yeah. When you say awful, what do you mean?
Like anxiety awful. You know, like it was really hard to get myself here. And then when you got here, you'd smile and be pleasant. And, you know, you don't want to tell the world, like, I feel like a crazy person.
Hello, I'm Hayley.
Yeah. I'm crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, I'm nuts. If I start crying, don't
just
worry.
Ignore me.
Yeah. We'll start, like, rocking in the corner. So, no, like, it's hard. You're always putting that face on. And it is. It was really hard to get better because you've got to face a lot of those things. And even with the, you know, like, so with the psychologist, I did a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, and you really have to like look inward at who you are, and that stuff's not always easy, and you learn a lot of stuff about yourself that you're like, well, maybe that's not great, and there's lots of good things you learn too, but yeah, it was hard. It was a very, very hard 12 months, probably 18 months, oh no, 12 months, but yeah, I guess like I did get better.
Do you notice it when you get better, or is it just again one of those hindsight things that you're like, oh no, I'm not there anymore?
I definitely notice when the level of like when I say being on the edge of the precipice, it's you're so anxious that you feel like any tiny little thing could just send you into like hyperventilating meltdown. I can't cope. I ran out of a cafe one day. I was with Brad, and I think Isaac must have been at daycare, and Elise was in the capsule on the table. It's a cafe we go to all the time. You know, Elliot's down in Alex. Yeah, so like they know us very well. And we're sitting there eating and Brad started the conversation about, you know, how like when I go back to work, you know, like what would that look like?
You're and like, he was, nope.
Yeah. And I literally, my mind was like, I can't deal. And I got up and I ran out and I sat in the car and I was sitting in the driver's seat and I was like, I can't fucking drive. So I got in the passenger seat and I sat there. And Brad's just like, okay, I'll pay for this and bring our child to the garden.
Just imagine Brad watch you run out. Where the fuck? Maybe she needs a shit.
Yeah, like I like that. You know, I could not function. It doesn't have to be that bad. You know, it can be. That's probably when I say you feel like you're on the precipice of just like falling over. That's that, and I felt like that for probably about 2 months, most days. And then I don't know whether it was the medication or like I kicked in the exercise, because that was one thing is once I did start here, I would bring the kids sometimes, but a lot of the time I don't know, it kind of added more stress and anxiety. So actually Brad was great. He was like, leave them at home. They'll be fine. And you go, I still would rush home though. I'd finish and I'd be like, I've got to get back to the kids. Like, whereas now it's like, oh, 3 hours later, I'll go.
Mosey in the door.
Yeah. But that like 1 hour where I came in, I would feel like a different person when I left. So I'd walk in feeling like nervous, horrible, stutter vision, you know, funny hearing, heart racing, clammy. And then I think for an hour, I was just focusing on like, I don't know, a movement or a thing that we were doing. And I was also kind of just burning off all of that nervous energy. And it might only be 5 or 10 minutes that I'd feel great when I walked out the door. But that was enough to be like, I'm doing that again tomorrow. I'm doing that again tomorrow. So that was a really big part of it for me.
Can I ask about medication? Did you feel, were you hesitant to take it?
100%.
What were you worried about?
I guess the stigma associated with it.
Yeah.
Then you really are a crazy person, aren't you? You're on antidepressants.
This is real.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's where, I mean, the psychologist was good as well, but both the psychologist and the GP were like, look, this isn't you forever. This is just a tool you can use to help, you know, get that chemical imbalance back to something more normal.
Yeah.
And then you can start to work through like what's actually happening here and understand all of that.
So it's like enough to take the edge off so yep. that you can do the things you need to do to get better.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So you can function. And like, I'm glad I did. And I think I was probably on them for about 12 months. And then slowly, then you just like slowly start to wean it down, which I guess part of it is like, if you come off it very quickly, you can get a lot of those, like they can give you all the symptoms again.
Yeah.
Which every time I drop my dose, I'd have a week of feeling like, oh, but I knew enough about myself then. And I knew like enough of the tools to, you know, not get in my own head about it, that I'd be like, it's okay. Just see the week out. And then we go another couple of months and then we drop it a little more. And yeah. So it's probably 18 months all up that I was on medication.
Did you get over the stigma?
I guess so. I think so. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty open about it if people ask. Yeah.
Were and you at like, the time open about
not
it?
Not initially, no. Initially, I had a close group of friends that I'd told, like, you know, probably two of my girlfriends. So at least I had that space. Like if I was having a really bad day and I needed something, I knew I could talk to them. But outside of that, no. Like I think I didn't even tell my parents until Elise was about 8 months old.
Shit.
Because, yeah, like I just needed to be, I don't know, like I just needed to be in a better frame of mind. It was like, yes, it was a thing and I needed to work on it, I needed to figure it out, but I felt awful and I just, I don't know. It's like if everybody knows, then it's like the center point of conversation and, you know, and at the time, like the borders are shut. I know my mum and dad want to help.
I was just about to say earlier, do you think COVID contributed to the, not, you know, can't blame every, like everyone blames everything on COVID, but I think, I wonder if there's anything on that, like with new mums that had babies at that stage.
Yeah.
I feel like that, like I was shit scared of like the business, not a baby, like, you know, like a little human life. Like if you were pregnant and you're like, you see the world just shutting down, you just be like, what the fuck is the world going to be when I have a baby?
Huge, huge increase in postnatal depression.
Yeah.
Well, even little things like if Brad had any respiratory symptoms at the time that I went into labor, so even if it wasn't COVID, because at that stage we didn't have quick testing, he couldn't come in. Yeah. So there was a possibility that I'd be on my own to have the baby. And
yeah, like, even the support people, you were only allowed one.
One.
A bit different to Belle's birth. When Belle had Lily, there was like nine of us in there.
So many people.
Every time the doctors walk in, they're like, oh my God.
All the nurses, there's like, well, some of the nurses would be bitches. And be like, oh, well, everyone was invited to this one, weren't they?
Yes, Karen. Righto, let's get to Doris. Work. But I think, it was that support network postnatally wasn't there for mums. Like they didn't have access to mothers groups and like all of those things shut down, which not everyone goes to anyway, I know, but just having the option of going out. I think it even got to the point where midwives weren't visiting homes. Like there was so many services. Yeah.
Telehealth. And that's not what people need, human connection.
Yeah.
100%.
Oh yeah. You're like, you really do. You really do.
You don't want to leave the house, but if you have to, you will.
Yeah. And it's actually good for you too. It's good. Yeah.
Exactly. And like you leave the house if it's for your baby.
Yeah. Not for you.
Not for you. No. But if it's something to do with the baby's health, you'll be there.
100%.
Yeah. So I think I'd like, you know, there's nothing mum and dad could have done. The borders were shut, you know. And then it's also like another thing, you don't want to put that worry on them either, that they can't help and they want to help. So yeah, we actually did that when there was the border zone area that you could go to and you weren't supposed to. Yeah. We met them down there. We had a really, actually, we planned to have a great week. Everybody got gastro on the holiday. So that was fun. That was the first time I told them. And I think Elise would have been about 8 months. And it's also a conversation that, like, I don't want to have that over the phone. You know, like, it's a tough thing. And, I needed to, I guess, find a time when I felt like I could have it, but I wanted to have it face to face. So, So, no, I didn't tell a lot of people. Probably once I started to feel a lot less anxious, and it went from, like, being on the edge of a panic attack all the time to just like, I don't know, I actually thought I had indigestion. And my GP was like, that's a really early sign of anxiety. And I thought I had indigestion at the end of the pregnancy with Elise. And he's like, probably not. It's probably, those baseline sign, early signs of anxiety. So once I started to feel better is probably when I started to talk about it a bit more.
I still remember you telling me when you went off your medication.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You were very excited.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like a little win for me. Well, I guess, and that was part of like, I'm getting better.
Mm. I didn't know you were on medication.
And he was like, cool.
That's great.
Good for you.
So were you listening to the podcast yet? Or?
We got this really good podcast. Yeah.
And exercise-wise, how long do you think it took to not feel like that when you came here, to not feel that like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Oh, pretty quick. Like, I think that's the thing that you guys do a great job at really supporting people in that environment and, you know, like scaling to every option and ability. And then I think I kind of looked around and I saw like everybody from like different backgrounds and strengths and body shapes and sizes, and like everybody's just doing it and everyone's so supportive. So I think, and probably you like foster that within the members as well. So,
out of 10, would you say it's like,
Look, give that one a 10.
Oh, shit.
But no, like I was really nervous coming in, and I think that disappeared really quickly. So very quickly, this wasn't like a scary thing to do. It became like my essential. It was my non-negotiable. And I was like, I've got to get to that thing, Brad. And I was training like, I think initially I started 3 days a week. And
they always do.
Yeah. And then went like once I'd kind of, because I hadn't done anything really since pre-Isaac. So it was like 2 years. Started 3 days a week, then went up to, I think they're unlimited, but I just gradually went to 4 to 5, 6. And then I was like, damn, I've got to go back to work.
She's here all the time.
And then we were like, no, Hayley, we're not opening on Sunday. Go home.
Yeah. And I think as well, very quickly, I understood how much better I felt doing something for me. Like it was really important for me to do this thing for me. So, and it's funny, I think previously when I'd done exercise, it was always about, I don't know, like you're trying to like be fit because that's what you do, or you're trying to be thin because you want to look a certain way. But this was the first time it wasn't about that. It was really about like my, like, yeah, it's your physical health, but it's my mental health. My mental health was the big goal. And I just felt so much better. Every time I'd come in, I'd walk out and I would feel like great. And I was like, all right, I can deal with whatever the day is going to throw at me now. I might feel like an anxious mess by the end of the day, but that's okay because I come back the next morning and it's like the reset button.
Have you done the open?
Yes, I did it the first year. I didn't want to, but I was strongly encouraged to. And it's the best thing I ever did. No, but it really is. And I was so nervous about it. But I think that's the thing I love is that it really is scaled for everybody. So it doesn't matter what you can or can't do.
Do you think that helped, like doing something like that, that everyone feels anxious, nervous, maybe sad about before they do it, like all the feelings.
Yeah.
Do you think that's something that can also, obviously not help you through, but gives you another tool, gives you like a better understanding, pushes you to something that you've never done before and being uncomfortable in that way?
Yeah.
Is that a good, you know?
Definitely, I think so. And I think you said it earlier that like getting better wasn't easy and it was uncomfortable. So all of those little situations. And I've actually, it's funny, like I've changed my mindset around it. I went and did a few months, maybe 12 months after starting here, I went and did a treetops challenge. I'm terrified of heights. But the reason I did it was because I want to put myself in a circumstance that does push me and challenge me and show myself that I can be okay. Definitely doing the open is something like that. It's scary and it's terrifying.
In the end, and you get to the end and you're okay.
Yeah, you're like, and I did the thing. Yeah, I did the thing and I actually love the thing and I really enjoyed it. So yeah, all of that stuff has really helped.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All of that aside, you were our member of the year this year.
Yes.
And like that's something like we talked about at the start, that the coaches, we went back and forth on for a couple of weeks and we had a short list of people and we like argued against each other for different members, and we had criteria that we wanted that award to fulfill. And I think it's really not hard, but people don't see what goes on behind the scenes. But we've been really lucky with you to see where you started and what you were dealing with when you started with us, and we didn't know the full extent of it, but we knew that it had been quite bad. And then to see you like showing up and then showing up every day and then showing up every day and staying and doing extras, and like in that time you've also been quite injured, you've had your fair share of injuries, and that didn't matter because you just knew that you'd show up and work on something else, and that's like really, really cool.
You had a bout of insomnia recently as well.
Yeah
yeah
you still showed up. You were like, she always showed up with a smile. And she'd go, hey, I'm probably not going to be any good today.
I might cry today.
I think I've had about 90 minutes sleep last night, but I'll do my best. All right, Hales, just take it fucking easy, mate. But yeah, she'd always do the thing, you know, put in the work.
Yeah, always, yeah. Always.
But I think that's one thing that has helped. And like I said, when you were like, oh, we do a podcast, I'm thinking, I'm not listening to a podcast, but I actually love it because it is all those little like bits of knowledge that you get. Like it's not just about coming in and exercising and being able to do a bar muscle up and being strong. Like it's so much about, you know, how do you fuel your body and how do you rest your body and how do you recover and, you know, what's your mindset around stuff. And I think that's, I've taken away so much more than just the physical aspect of exercise from here. It's been huge. Like it's really, yeah.
This is why you're the member of the year. Yeah. Because, yeah, like I tried to say on Saturday before turning into a giant floppy, tearful mess. You take everything that we try to give and you trust us, which we are, like, you know, it's all we can ask for. Like if you're going to come here and pay us money, listen to us. We know what can help you. And you do that and you don't look for the shortcut. You know that it's going to be hard. You know that it takes work. And like you said, you don't just take away the hour that we give you. You will take away the other bits that, you know, it's not more important. It's just the whole 24 hours of everyone's week, of everyone's day, not week, that matters. But yeah, you do the work and you seek it out, which is all we can ask for. That's all we want, is to help people. That's all we really want to be able to do. And that's why we love what we do. And it makes it worth it when people take what we're putting out there, I guess.
You can't be too nice. You'll make me cry.
We haven't had a cry on the podcast for a while.
And if you cry, I'll cry again. Everyone will cry except for Candace. She'll laugh at us now.
Do you ever
internal cry?
Yeah. She cries a lot, but just not in front of people. She cries in front of me.
In my house.
In the shower.
Just from my experience, it's not good to keep those things bottled up. You've got to get them out.
Thank you so much, Hayley. I'll take that on board.
You know when she cries the most is, yeah, like happy cries. She cries the most then. I think I've only seen her cry twice over being sad.
Mostly like happy. Like when someone does something that I'm like, holy fuck, like she's worked so hard for that. Like that makes me emotional. Yeah.
And then I look at her like, what the fuck have you got tears in your eyes
like
for?
Sport. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh, so many tears over sport. Sport. I love sport.
I love it so much.
Yeah. Like where we message each other both crying, watching the same shit. Losers.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think I just cried everything. I'll be at the airport picking somebody up and I'm crying at other people. Because like the joy in their reunions is so nice.
Were you like
I'm
that like, before you had kids?
Yeah.
You were. You've always been like
that. I would
that.
Like watch. I mean, my mum would tell me stories about when just I was a kid and I'd watch like.
I'm just curious. No reason why.
Yeah, no, mum would be like, you used to watch like Bambi as a kid and you'd just be bawling your eyes out because the mum died. Like I've just always been like.
Nah, man. It's only ever since I had a kid.
Oh, right.
I never used to cry. And then since having Callie, I cried anything. Happy, sad.
Angry.
Angry. Angry especially. Can't punch her, so you got to cry about it. What else? Have you got anything else for her? Have you got anything else?
What would you say to someone? I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Someone who's maybe not specifically postnatal related, but someone who's suffering from mental health stuff or thinks that there might be something going on, because I think it's a problem that a lot of people have that they don't do anything about because of the stigma, or they don't think anything is wrong. They think it's just the way it's supposed to be. What would you suggest to them?
And this is something my psychologist would say to me all the time. What's the worst that can happen? Like if you go and seek help, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
You find out I'm good. This is normal. This is normal to have these emotions and feelings. And if it's not, well then you learn more about yourself and you figure out how you operate in the world and you put things into place to change it, and the outcome's good as well. So, and I always, that's, yeah, she would call it like stinky thinking, because you get lost in your own thoughts. And yeah, when I'd go down that track, she's like, what's the, you know, if that thing happened, what's the worst that could happen? And that's what I ask myself all the time.
That's so good to put it into perspective, I reckon, because your mind spirals out of control and you're like, actually nothing bad can happen from this.
Yep. So yeah, if you think like, I don't know, and you don't even need to be like as unwell as I was, it can just be like, I don't know, like you just worry about stuff all the time. You know, is that worry founded or not? Or could you do something different with that? Because, you know, you can go down the path of like cognitive behavioral therapy, and that you look at like reframing things. So rather than worrying about stuff, well, you see opportunities in things. And, you know, like it sounds like all kooky stuff, but it actually works. You know, like I'll have problems thrown my way now, and rather like there's still stuff where I'm like, oh shit. But more often than not, it's like, okay, well, that thing's happened. So what am I going to do? Like, how are we going to get out of this hole? How are we going to change it? So yeah, I think if you have any kind of doubts or questions, or you just want to know, it was really hard to go through, and I felt pretty awful for a long time, but I'm actually so grateful for it now, because I feel like I know myself so much better than I ever did. And I'm really conscious of like how I interact with people and how I treat other people and how I talk to them, and just mindful of like, you know, even just little things like, you know, like conflict resolution between Brad and I, and like how we'll discuss things, like that's changed drastically because of all of the things I've learned through this process of, yeah, kind of like figuring out how to deal with anxiety and who I am.
So, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So cool that something so awful and life-changing has actually become something amazing that happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is. It's really good. Yeah, it wasn't fun, but I did get better. Mm. And I'm like the Hayley 2.0.
new version, and improved.
The new and improved. Yeah.
You said before, when you first started coming here, and the thing that you came here for was always the mental benefit.
Yeah.
And before, you always trained for like the physical benefit.
Yeah.
But can I point out that the physical benefit for you has also been a massive improvement?
Yeah.
So you've, I don't know if you've, like, did you weigh yourself? Like, have you got kilos lost? Is that a thing for you? Yeah. Yep. You got that as a measurement?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us?
Yeah, so I think I've lost about 13 kilos.
Holy fuck. Yeah, did not know it was that much. That's pretty cool. Look at Candace, little proud mum over there.
Yeah.
And then also like the physical, like I know that you aim for things, like you have goals in the gym,
yeah,
but it is the mental benefit that you more train for. So it's okay if you don't, like if you're injured, you just still come in because you know that you're going to feel better afterwards.
Yeah.
But physical wise, like when you first started here, you couldn't do pull-ups.
Yeah, I couldn't even hang from the bar. I remember like trying to do a dead hang and just falling off and being like,
wait,
oh,
a minute.
Yeah, like I couldn't hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I, like the first time I got a push-up, I think we were doing them in warm-ups one day, and every now and then
I remember that you were like, oh my god.
Yeah, every now and then I'd try and I'd be like, no, and then one day I just did it. I was like, ah. Yeah, but everyone was really happy for it. That's the thing I love, is that like that seems like such a small thing, but everybody genuinely is so happy for everyone else's little wins. Like, yeah, it's a really supportive environment.
Definitely. Mm. It's definitely like a perception thing as well. Like that's what you know, that's how you view it. So that's what you see.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And that's probably something that you know, worked through.
Yeah.
Is like how, you know, how you view things and whatnot.
Yeah.
You can do pull-ups.
Yes.
Yes. Do what else can you do that you're proud of since like it's only been a couple years?
So yesterday is the first time I've actually properly done double unders. Like we had them in the there workout and I've just been doing practice.
Yeah.
And I had some little drills.
Say that word again.
Practice.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
So yeah, Candace had given me some drills that I had to do as homework.
To practice.
To practice. Yep. And you know, it, like yeah, some days it's okay. But yesterday was the first time where I was like, all right, well, I'll just try. And it just worked. Like
you're saying the practice work?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's unreal.
I was able to relax. I was actually able to count because previously there was no counting. There was just like high jump, skip, high jump, skip, high jump, skip,
breathe.
Yeah. But yesterday I was actually like, hey, 1, 2, 3, 13.
So, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah. So no, that was a nice little win. I remember saying to Jay really early on, one of the workouts, you had to get on the bike. And it was like, oh, or you can run. And I was like, oh, I'll run. She's like, why? I was like, I don't like that thing. So she's like, right, you're getting on it.
Get on.
Yeah. But actually.
You're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So then I learned, don't tell them what you don't like. Then you're made to do the thing. But like, I've no issues getting on a bike now. Like, you know what I mean? There's not anything that I look at. Like I hated burpees and I'd be like, oh, I see them. I'm like, this is awful. But yeah, now I'm like, okay, cool. Yep. Burpees.
So what you're saying is when you lose weight, commit to something, continuously show up, things don't suck as bad anymore.
Yeah, like it's not even I don't even wake up. I mean, today I didn't come because, like, I am really sore. It's like, it's been a big week. And I did say to Candace, like, I don't really like snatches, but that's not the reason I didn't come today.
I did get a very long message about this when I was like, it's fine, mate.
Because I try, like, I really try. If there's something I look and I think, oh, I don't like that, I try to just come in and just have a go. Is like, that's the mindset I try to take with it. I've even lost my train of thought. I don't even know what we were talking about.
What were we talking about? Oh, I said when you keep showing up,
yes,
things don't suck.
Yeah. So like, it's not like I wake up and it's like, am I going to go to the gym today? Like, I just do. Yeah. Like, I just get up and I start my day with it. And if I don't get here in the morning, then I come in the afternoon. Like, it is just part of life now.
So you're not nervous, anxious to come in anymore. It's just a part of your day.
Yeah. It's just, it's like going to work. It's like getting the kids out of bed, making them dinner. It just is a thing that I do.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I love it.
Anything else? Any questions or?
I don't think so. I feel like I've chewed your ear off.
That's been what excellent. Podcasts are for, mate.
It'd be pretty boring if you didn't. Question?
Yep.
I have some.
Oh, go. Okay. Yeah. It's okay. You can pick the question.
Yeah, she's even got a list.
Yeah.
We should just make everyone bring a question so then we don't have to think.
Well, I had a couple. I was actually looking yesterday. I was like, ooh.
Yes.
I like the would you rather. I always find they're a good
one. Oh, my God. I screenshotted so many of those. I have so many. That was Fab sent them to me. She's like, go through this list. And there were so many.
And it's hard. I've got like seven here. So I won't do that.
Pick the best one.
Yeah, I'll pick the best one.
I mean, you can do three because then we just won't ask a question. So there won't be a question each.
See, farts are really funny in our house. So
farts are just really funny.
Would you rather fart every time you laugh or burp every time you cry?
I don't cry often, so I'd be happy to burp every time I cry.
Okay. I'd be burping all the time if I was a cry option. I am always crying.
I still laugh. Like, I cry a lot more than Candace. However, I laugh a lot.
Mm.
So I'm going to choose the cry option. Also because I can't burp. And I want to experience that.
You're missing it. You're really missing out.
It sounds like it's really like relieving.
Yeah.
Like every now and then I'll do
it's
like this.
Like cracking your back kind of.
You're
like,
yeah.
Oh,
that's what it looks like for people.
Mm-hmm. I reckon I'd take the burp while I cry because I laugh a lot as well. That's generally people like, oh, I could hear you were here.
When I was a little kid, I used to, if I sneezed or laughed suddenly, I would fart anyway. Mum used to call me Lucy.
Aw, poor little butt.
Did anyone else do that as a little kid? Callie does it sometimes.
And then, like as a general rule.
It was, you just laugh or like when you sneeze suddenly and then it's like, oh! That came out of my bum. See, farts are funny, aren't they, Hales?
They are funny. Yeah, see, I've worked really hard on my pelvic floor to not fart when I laugh. So
maybe that's when my pelvic floor problem started when I was a child.
Yeah. The other one that I thought of for Candace, because I know you like to do your face regime every day, is would you rather have the face of a pensioner but the body of a 20-year-old?
Ooh.
Or the body of a pensioner and the face of a 20-year-old?
Shit.
So you look good, but you can't CrossFit. Or you look old and you can CrossFit.
No, I'd pick the look old and can CrossFit.
Yep. Give up the skincare regime.
Isn't it just looks? It doesn't...
Just looks?
Yeah.
Not function.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not function. Just looks. So do you want an old body or an old face?
Fuck.
That's your options, bitch.
I kind of think I'll take the old body because you can just cover it up in a big long dress with a high neck and long sleeves. And have a nice face. That's a good question. Yeah, I'll go with it.
Yeah?
I'm happy with my answer.
Do you have it? Yeah,
but I'm going to challenge it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going the old face.
Okay. Hot then body.
Getting plastic surgery.
Oh, well, fuck.
Can't plastic surgery your whole body. I mean, you can. It'd just be really expensive. I'll just pin my face back, bro.
Yeah. Stick it.
I think I'd go old face. Because I feel like my body is getting old. You know, like I'll have like my elbow injury and then I'll get my knee injury and then I'll get the next injury. So like the body's already getting old.
It's gone.
Yeah.
How old are you?
So, 38. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I had kids late. So
Yeah. Damn, girl.
I know. I was considered great. A geriatric pregnancy.
Yeah, it would have been.
I really don't like some of the words they use in pregnancy land. Like, and like the, yeah. what's the other one? Failure to thrive
when your kids are little.
No.
Fail to progress.
Yeah, fail to progress when your labor's not going to the plan.
I didn't do that, but I just feel like that would be the most, like it would hurt. You'd be like, oh, I'm trying, man. I hurt your feelings so much.
Yes, I know. I'd go old face, young body.
Okay.
Mm.
I'm going to make that a question next week.
Do you want to do one more?
Oh, do you want me to do another
one? Yeah, okay. I'm ready. All right. One more. Because then we don't have to ask anything.
Okay.
Slack it on our only job that we have all day.
Would you rather have your name tattooed on your forehead or have no front teeth?
Whoa.
Shit.
I'll go the tattoo.
I don't really like my name, so I don't know if I want it on my face. But I also like
you
my
You could
teeth.
Like put it in another language. On your forehead.
Chinese symbols. Get a fringe. Yeah, let's go forehead and I'll get a fringe.
I think I like my teeth too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd have to walk around with my face on, like my name on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather look like a gangster than a hobo. I think. I'm pretty sure. Thank you so much, Hales.
Yeah, cool. Thank
you.
We're super proud of everything you've achieved over the last few years.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
And feel like that would help people that need to hear it. I feel like if you cried listening to this,
book
go
an
to the doctor.
Today. Do it right now.
Come and ask Candace about good GP.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
Have a great Christmas and whatnot.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Bye.